Welcome back to Your Valley Sports Plug. It's the 2025 MLB season preview. I am your host, Chris Patrick, and boy, do we got a lot to get into. A whole lot of Diamondbacks news, some of which was breaking today, others last week, some even earlier in the offseason. So we're going to dive into all that. First, I want to invite you to like and subscribe right here on YouTube. If we have some new faces in the chat, if you don't know about Valley Sports Plug, we do a once a month in-person podcast that is the Heat Check podcast. We also do live streams every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. We do streams like this, season previews, roundtable where we invite on all our friends, the Heat Check Live with myself, Mr. Benjamin, and VSP Tallman. And we just have a whole lot of fun talking Valley sports. You may also find us at AZ_VSP on Instagram, X, TikTok, and so much more. Just Google Valley Sports Plug, and I promise you, you will find us. But because we have so much to talk into, we got to get right into it. But first, let me introduce my co-host and our guest. First, my co-host, Mr. Michael Benjamin and VSP Tallman. What up, fellas?
Gentlemen, baseball is back. It's only fitting. The first ever stream from my compound right here was the 2024 MLB preview. And the final one is the 2025 MLB preview. I'm excited to talk some baseball with y'all fellas. But Tallman, how are you doing tonight?
Guys, it's about damn time. It's baseball season. And of course, the Suns had to beat two of the best teams in the NBA right when the season's about to start. But I'm excited. I don't know about you guys, but today was officially the first day I turned on the AC at my house. And I can tell you right now, I am sweating my ass off. How y'all doing?
I was going to ask, because I actually refuse to turn on my AC yet, and it is hot. I am also sweating. This nice D-backs giveaway shirt. I'm going to have sweaty pits by the end of the stream. Well, and it's even worse because I'm in a two-story, and my office here, the Valley Sports Plug Studios, is on the second level. So, you know, if anyone remembers from elementary school, heat rises. So it's really nice and toasty up here, but we'll maintain. Hopefully, talking D-backs will keep my minds off things. But let me also introduce our guests. Of course, we have host of Valley of the Suplex podcast right here on the Valley Sports Plug Network. It's Nico. What's going on, bro?
What is going on, guys? Y'all are inside in your air-conditioned abodes, and I'm sitting out here in the elements just soaking it in, baby. It is hot in Arizona. You know what that means? That means baseball is back. It is the best time of year. Let's close the roof at Chase. Let's pump up that terrible air conditioner and only fucking cool down a third of the stadium. Let's get to it. Baseball is back. I know I'm sitting here representing my Milwaukee Brewers, but man, I am so pumped for D-backs baseball, guys. I am so ready. I got some hot takes. I am so pumped for the baseball season to start.
Hell yeah. Spoken like a true Arizonan. And Nico, we might have to get into why you're decked out in Brewers gear right now, but we'll save that for a little later on. But last, we got to introduce another Valley Sports Plug contributor. You know him. You love him. It's Ian. What's going on, brother? Oh, he's not even muted. We just can't hear him.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh, oh, shit. Can you hear me now?
Connected. Yeah, there he is. Yes.
Sorry. My headset got muted. Yeah, what's up, guys? I'm with Tallman. I broke today. My AC is on.
Weak.
I'm also super excited for baseball. You know, the last 6 months or so for both of our respective fan bases has been pretty not fun. Baseball usually is pretty fun for us, you know, has more ups and downs than the other sports, I'd say. So, yeah, good vibes coming.
Man, I was trying to find it here quick enough, but maybe I can pull it. Did I do that, Mike?
No.
This is what I want to do. This is how I feel about you and Tallman right now.
Soft.
Turning on your AC.
Soft.
Straight up soft. Dude, I mean,
it was 85 in my house. How the fuck is it not 85 in your house?
It probably is, but you know what, bro? I've been here for 30 plus years. I'm used to the heat. And yeah. So have you.
Nobody
Ian at least has an excuse. He's only been here for like a little over a decade now.
But nobody Ian's gets excuse, used to it.
Ian's excuse is waning off as well.
I don't
probably
think
the only person who might have a little more of an excuse is Nico, because he just came back to the Valley within the past couple of years. But you see him. He's out in the elements,
sitting outside,
man.
Yeah. What the hell?
Bro, I was born in this.
That should say something right there. But fellas, I kind of teased it at the top. We're going to talk about some of the breaking news here. We're going to go into our favorite additions to this D-backs team. Although few, they are some pretty entertaining signings. We got some new faces in new places around the MLB. Going to talk about how the NL West is looking, our expectations for your 2025 Arizona Diamondbacks, make some predictions on how the two big awards, Rookie of the Year and MVP, will shake out by the end of the season, and then end on giving our World Series predictions. That's a full, 162 games away from play starts on Thursday. I mean, I guess we technically had the Tokyo series. Well, was it last week? That was the Cubs and the Dodgers, but I don't count that. I hate that shit. But let's start right up the top. We have the breaking news coming down today. Jordan Montgomery is going to have Tommy John surgery and will miss the entire season. Everybody shed a tear. We will not be able to trade him, unfortunately. Mike, I want to get your thoughts on this first, because I know you had some hard feelings on this one.
We joked around before the stream started. I asked Tom and I said, this is best case scenario, right, Tallman? No, this is absolute worst case scenario for the Arizona Diamondbacks. You lose all leverage that you had in possibly moving Jordan Montgomery to another team, maybe getting some capital and getting some of that $22.5 million off of your books. And now all of that is kaput. Arizona Sports was kind of going over his stats and, you know, only in 116 innings, he was well over 6 ERA, gave up like 84 runs. It was just an absolute terrible showing from Jordan Montgomery last year. But you were hopeful from the work that he put in during the offseason, dropped some LBs, and finally had a decent showing in his last spring appearance. But it's all for naught now, and it's really, really a tough scenario as the Diamondbacks basically fall flat on a $45 million investment in Jordan Montgomery. And now we just sit here kind of wondering, what if? Is this the worst signing that the Arizona Diamondbacks have ever made? I don't know, but it definitely has to go into that category at this point. But it sucks for Jordan. I hope he does recover. But I don't think we're obviously never going to see him in an Arizona Diamondbacks uniform again. I don't think you can try and run it back next year, even if he were to take a quote-unquote hometown discount. But it sucks, man.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a bummer, just because now you're absolutely going to get nothing in return for him. He's got that big, was it $20 million on his head? I mean, Tallman, is that the biggest loss of it all? Because we're not really worried about not being having him available to pitch. It's more so having to eat that money and not getting anything in return for it, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, thankfully we are blessed with an influx of starting pitchers, right? We all knew he wasn't going to make the starting rotation, the starting five, but it's just, I mean, you were just hoping that maybe you'd be able to flip him for something. Maybe he'd come out, he'd have a couple good outings as a middle reliever, you know, someone to help extend the ball game for you after a starter goes out early. But now you don't get any of that. You're stuck with him. You're paying him to do literally nothing but rehab. And what's funny about it is, you know, Montgomery got the last laugh over Ken Kendrick, man. That's for sure. He said, you know what? Yeah, you want me out of here. You talk, you know, shit about me on local radio. You know, now he's got the last laugh. He's sitting back getting paid $22.5 million to just watch baseball all season. So it's definitely worst case scenario. Even if he went out and pitched a couple games and was absolutely terrible, at least we would have known, right? Because we don't know. He had that good last spring outing. What if he came out, he was actually, you know, figuring it out and we could have flipped him off? Granted, the D-backs would have had to pay a lot of that $22 million, but at least we would have got some type of relief and potentially, you know, a prospect or two. But, you know, it sucks. It's some more Arizona typical news right before the season starts.
Yeah, it's crazy that literally like days before the season, Jordan Montgomery has been the breaking news the last two seasons. Last year it was acquiring him. Now it's us losing him for the whole season to Tommy John. But you do mention there that had we been able to trade him, was he healthy, that we would have ate a good portion of his contract. I think they were negotiating for like 12 million and the other team would pick up the other 10. And one of the teams that was being floated as a possible suitor was Ian's New York Yankees, where he has pitched before. So Ian, from your perspective, had he not had this surgery, would you have liked the Yankees to entertain the prospect of bringing him back?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, that doesn't even take a second thought to me. We had him for like the first 5 years of his career, I think. And he was really good for us. Like he was, I wouldn't call him an ace by any means, but a middle to late rotation guy. He was really, really solid. We liked him a lot. The trade that we made when we sent him away was, excuse me, one of the worst I've ever seen from Brian Cashman. We really shouldn't have let him go. I'm glad we did let him go, because it ended with him winning a ring. But yeah, fucking, I would have loved to have this guy back, barring, you know, a Tommy John surgery. Like, now, I don't know. I don't know, like, how many years this guy has left or anything like that, because, you know, people recover from Tommy John, but, like, at 32, and he's already kind of down, coming off a down year, like, we'll see. But, yes, to answer your question, I would have loved to have this dude back before the surgery. It's really sad what happened here.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, it's a Tallman saying, like, oh, he gets to just kick back and collect money. But I think Tallman, he would much rather be playing baseball and collecting a check versus just collecting the check. And yeah, I mean, that's a valid question, is like, is this the end of his career, essentially, like at 30, 31 years old, however old he is he going to be able to bounce back and be effective? And I guess my question is, like, how far back does the injury go? Was he dealing with some kind of injury that needed Tommy John last year and he just didn't know, and his velocity was down and his command was off? Or did this all just happen recently since he's been pitching in the offseason? I guess that's probably a question we'll never get the answer to. But I guess along that vein and in that question, just to loop Nico here in on this topic to close it out, what do you think of this situation, Nico? And do you think Jordan Montgomery's career might be over?
Honestly, like, this is just, as a fan, it's disappointing. Like, I saw what he did for Texas in the World Series and in that World Series run. I think we all did, obviously. But, like, for me, this is – a lot of people are, like, upset with Montgomery, and a lot of people, given last year's performance and the whatnot. But, like, my thing is, Ken Kendrick came out and publicly shamed him like he was a dog who shit on a carpet. That's karmatic. Like, what did you think was going to happen when you came out and you took your assets, your investments, the money that you put, somebody that you agreed that was going to make this team better, and then you came out and you drug him through the mud? It is, like, for me, that is, it's classic Arizona sports, and the fact that we're eating a big spoonful of karma in this whole ordeal. And that sucks. Like, it sucks that an ill-advised big mouth West Virginia alum decided that he was going to come in and take his penis and smear it across the fans' faces. And then not only that, but like dog walk this dude who, like, comes in, puts the work in and day out. Chris, you mentioned, like, do we know if this has been a long-term injury or not? I think you're right. We'll never know. But the way that I've seen coaches watching pitchers, if there's anything wrong, if this dude doesn't sneeze right, there is somebody coming out there and talking to him and trying to figure out what the hell is going on. So for me, it is unfortunate, and I feel bad for Jordan Montgomery as much as you can feel bad for somebody who's going to watch baseball to get paid $22 million. But I feel bad for Jordan Montgomery, and I think that this is, honestly, it's kind of a shit stain on the organization. I think Kendrick kind of brought it on himself.
No, I definitely agree there that it is almost like I think you said karmatic, like the bad karma of him putting that out there. And, like, yeah, Ken Kendrick said it was his fault, but he also said it was his fault that he signed Montgomery because Montgomery is such shit. So it's like double backhands almost. And I agree. Like, I get, like, the fan side of it. If you're taking the humanity out of it, you're frustrated, you're pissed off, you feel like he's robbing you. But then, you know, being a human being, it's like, damn, you know, that sucks, because Tommy John surgery is no light rehab. It's pretty invasive, and he's going to have a long road ahead of him. And I thought he was a little bit younger. He's actually going to be 33 to start next season. So as Michael Benjamin would say, he's no spring chicken by any means. And as Tallman would say, he's past his prime. But I'll stop before I get ahead of myself. But yeah, hoping Montgomery gets healthy and continues his career. Just won't be in a D-backs uniform, and that's okay because we've got another ace in the pocket with the signing of Corbin Burns this offseason. So this will kind of be a bridge between this breaking news topic and the next topic. But the reason we got to talk about Corbin Burns right now is because Torey Lovello took his sweet fucking time announcing who the opening day starter was going to be while all the other managers in the major league were announcing their starter at the beginning of spring training, or it was never even a question throughout the offseason. Torey Lovello, in classic moronic fashion, like, I go back and forth, guys. Like, sometimes I love Torey and sometimes I fucking hate the guy because he's just such a doofus sometimes. And this is a perfect example of that, where he was waffling on it. It sounds like he was keeping him up at night. He couldn't make up his fucking mind. And to where finally, a week and a half before opening day, he's like, yeah, we're going to go with Gallen. To where now it's thrown off Corbin Burns so much that he can't start until the fifth fucking game. I mean, Mike, Tallman, one of you has to take it away because I'm just getting pissed off.
I almost thought it was kind of, you know, oh, maybe Torey felt bad for actually not naming the guy that we all thought was going to be the dead set opening day starter in Corbin Burns, the guy that you just signed to a $200+ million contract for 5 years, the future ace of this team. And maybe he just went back and said, we'll do some dipsy-doo-dah stuff and name you as the fifth starter, but it'll actually be like resetting the lineup, right? So technically, you're the start. You're the first in the rotation, and then Zach Gallen is second. That's just the tinfoil hat club coming in. But yeah, we know that pitchers are creatures of habit, so I understand the situation for why it is made, and Burns has been slotted into the fifth spot in the rotation, but I'm like you too. To not have handled this situation better, to be able to go 1-2 punch to start your season, give your fans something to be excited about, and really maybe be able to shut down the incredible amounts of Chicago Cubs fans that are going to be there for the opening series at Chase Field. It's absurd, man. And it's another head scratcher. This falls perfectly within kind of what happened with Jordan Montgomery. More so, I'm kind of aligned with Nico. That might have been karma. This was just stupidity to have ended up in this situation with Corbin Burns now having to wait for the fifth spot. But yeah, Tallman, I mean, what do you
think? Yeah, guys, what the hell? This could have been avoided if he just did what everybody thought he was going to do and just name Corbin Burns as the opening day starter.
Well, Tallman, I want you to continue.
He's clearly the better pitcher. Yeah, he was your top addition to this team, prized possession. Go ahead. Sorry, Chris.
No, I was just going to highlight that we talked about this on Roundtable, Heat Check Live, Heat Check Podcast, and it was definitive. Everyone agreed it should be Corbin Burns as the opening day starter, and everyone agreed except Torey Lovello.
Absolutely. And then Torey goes on where he's asking everybody in the clubhouse what their opinions were. He's like, I'm open. You know, if you have a reason why, let me know. It's like, dude, you're the manager of the team, man. Make the decision. You get paid to make these tough decisions. And it's really wasn't that hard of a decision. And everybody leading up to it, they're all like, well, you know, all the spring outings that Gallen has had, it matches up perfect with him starting opening day. So that was kind of the secret, like, okay, well, you know, it's all timed out in that 5-6 day thing where it's going to be Gallen opening day. But then this, how does Torey not know about this routine that Corbin Burns supposedly has? And I'm not doubting that at all. I mean, thank God Corbin Burns isn't in the bullpen, because obviously there's zero routine that's been inputted into that bullpen with Torey Lovello, because he's just going with matchups, as I'm sure we're going to talk about the closer here. But it's crazy. I mean, it's like, where was the lack of communication on this? Was he really worried about pissing Zach Gallen off by not naming him opening day starter? Well, it seems like he pissed off Corbin Burns by not naming him opening day starter. I mean, I saw some interview with Burns where, like, his tone wasn't the greatest. I mean, great. I haven't listened to Corbin Burns talk a lot. Obviously, he's new to us here in the Valley, but it just seemed like he was not super interested in the questions that were being asked him about not being named the opening day starter by Torey. It's just it makes no sense. It really doesn't. It's where was the disconnect? I mean, having Corbin Burnes start that first game on the road in New York is kind of cool because I think we need all the help we can get to beat that Yankees team. Yeah, you're welcome, Ian. I said that. So it's not like, and then as we go on, you already mentioned it, it's going to progress. It's going to even itself out, but it's just real, really, really concerning that we have to even have this conversation. And there's doubts already on this team's pitching rotation and how it's managed by Torey Lovullo.
Well, and there are big implications to making him the fifth starter. The biggest one being it's very likely that he's going to pitch one less game than Zach Gallen now. Zach Gallen has the potential to pitch 33 games. Corbin Burnes is only going to pitch 32 probably. And so then how many games did we miss the playoffs by last year? One fucking game. So if it's the difference between a Corbin Burnes start and not, now we're looking at asking those questions again. It's like that, Nico, that's got to be a valid concern, right?
I mean, this whole thing is fucking concerning. The whole thing is red flags and alarm bells. The fact that, like, we went out and spent money to bring in Corbin Burnes. And, like, look, the beginning of spring training, Pat Murphy named Freddie Peralta starting pitcher. And it was done. Hands were wiped. Fucking everything was clean. All Torey had to do was come out and make a decision. And like you said, this dopey, like, aloofness that Torey has as if he doesn't understand that he is the fucking manager of the baseball team is certainly frustrating to like see happen. For me, like, I'm kind of with Tallman. Why do you want to piss off fucking Corbin Burnes? Like, it sounds like we all had a plan. It sounds like pretty much everybody in the organization thought that this was going one way. Not to mention, like, Zach itself. I think losing that game, like, after not making the playoffs by a game, and then hearing that your what should be ace is going to pitch one less game, it's fucking concerning. Do I think that we're going to find ourselves in a position where it's one game means the world again? No, I don't. Hopefully not. Hopefully this team takes care of business and wins 90 fucking games and we're in the playoffs. But that's, you know, it's Diamondbacks baseball. So that's a coin flip on any given day of the week. But yeah, I'm concerned by the whole thing. I don't know. Torey, I got my own bones to pick with you. Leave the lineup cards in the dugout. Some of us are trying to get our own souvenirs here. But more importantly, dude, just name the man the starter and don't even think about it. It should have been night and day.
I think for me, that's the biggest thing, right? Is like, I'm not even as upset that he named Gallen the starter over Burnes. It's like, just make that decision sooner so that everyone is on the same page and you have a game plan going forward. So Corbin Burnes could have made the second start of the season, but instead you fucked around and now you find out. But Ian, just to loop you in on this topic to round it out, the weirdness around this whole Corbin Burnes routine and how he isn't going to be ready to go for the second start because he wanted to get one more spring start in, and he's just such a creature of habit. Have you ever heard of anything like this when it comes to a starting pitcher, especially one of his caliber? I think you're muted again.
Sorry, I'm just going to keep that off mute forever. Yes, I absolutely have. I remember Greinke had a shit ton of meticulousness like this. If I'm reading the article right, this says that Corbin Burnes has been keeping an Excel sheet hour by hour of his entire life since 2019. That's fucking crazy. like OCD, I don't know. Like, yeah, if you could. Like, I understand the vitriol you have towards Lovullo here, but a little bit of this, I feel like, is on Burnes for not having a little bit of flexibility or wiggle room in that. But yeah, Lovullo is, you know, these dudes are, you know, there's a reason they're not doctors at the end. And, you know, you're not the only one who's whose manager is just like a complete buffoon when it comes to just like the simplest shit. So I definitely feel you.
Well, and so, and then I guess another question that I've heard floated is the concern of if they make the playoffs, it's not unheard of for the rotation to get shorter. There's been maniacs that even pitch every third day. Is Corbin Burnes going to have the flexibility to do that? Or do you think like the tea leaves are saying that, no, he's only going to go every fifth day because of this little routine he has?
That's tough, man. I think if Corbin Burnes is who Corbin Burnes, or, you know, people around Corbin Burnes says he is, who is an old school ace who's going to go out there for the big game and give you six plus innings. Like, his fastball is not going to fucking drop. He's got command like a motherfucker, like, you know, that kind of dude. Then yeah, he has the wiggle room. But like, you know, if he comes out and says, I won't pitch in a three man rotation or something like that, that's going to be the biggest red flag you ever get from this dude.
I agree. And I mean, it's like only time is going to tell. We locked him up for what, 6 years? So he's going to be here for a while. And I mean, we're projected to be making the playoffs a couple times during that 6 year stretch, albeit likely through the wild card. But hey, that's still the playoffs, baby. And we're going to need Corbin Burnes. I don't know. I think that question, we can table it for now. And as we get closer to October, November, we can start having those conversations again. Or what, I guess September, October, however the baseball calendar works. But fellas, your Diamondbacks made some signings. Not a whole lot, albeit, but a couple. Obviously, Corbin Burnes was the biggest, most flashy. We filled in our first base position after losing Christian Walker by trading for Josh Naylor. Got right-handed pitcher Kendall Graveman, relief pitcher in the bullpen, a utility man Garrett Hampson, and then with the Jordan Montgomery news today, they also went out and signed veteran relief pitcher, a lefty, Jalen Beeks, which I do think it's good that we get another lefty in the bullpen. We were just kind of talking about that a bit on the last Heat Check podcast, but out of this short list here, I want to throw it to Tallman first. I think I have a feeling I know what you're going to say, but what was your favorite addition to the D-backs this offseason?
Well, it was Corbin Burnes until I learned about his routine, and I didn't like his tone in an interview. I'm just kidding. Obviously, the very, very simple answer to this is Corbin Burnes. I mean, you don't just shock the whole MLB when you sign the best available free agent in the offseason to bring him to the desert. So obviously it's going to be Corbin Burnes. We're just going to have to wait a little longer to see him, but that's okay. I've waited long enough. I think a couple more days won't hurt. But other than that, I do want to just throw a little honorable mention to, it's going to be crazy, but it's going to be Shelby Miller. I'm just kidding. Josh Naylor, I would say, had to be the other one. Just the surprise trade that this front office did after you lose Christian Walker because you don't pay him money that you had to give the Jordan Montgomery. But no, just doing the quick move around to get Josh Naylor from the Guardians to this team and just seeing kind of the production that he's had so far in spring. I'm excited to see what he does in that third, fourth spot in that rotation. Hopefully he brought the big bat this season because we're going to need it.
No, without a doubt. I think I'd have to agree that I think Burnes is the easy one. Of course, this whole debacle, that wasn't entirely his fault, is a little concerning. But I think as far as his ability to pitch and win us games goes, that's definitely going to be the shining spot. But I really like the addition of Josh Naylor just because of the sheer, I don't want to call it panic, but concern we had after the Astros signed Christian Walker. And we had to ask ourselves, what are the Diamondbacks going to do? Who are they going to play at first? Is it going to be Pavin Smith? Like, what do we do? And it was pretty quick, if not like the same day or within like 2 or 3 days, they make that move and they get Josh Naylor. And they really didn't have to give up too much to do it either. So I really like that one. Obviously, I haven't seen too much of Kendall Graveman to really be able to formulate an opinion on that. But I do also think that the versatility of Garrett Hampson will be good for this team. I think before the stream, you called him the new Kevin Newman, where you can kind of put him just about anywhere on the field. And seems like he's a hardworking guy, fought for his spot on the 40 man and the active roster. So interesting to see how he slates into all this as well. But again, Nico, kind of a short list here for the Diamondbacks additions, but who are you liking the most?
I mean, I'm just going to piggyback off what you guys said, because I think that's the only right answer here. It is. I mean, it is Corbin Burns. I think Josh Naylor is the pickup is growing on me. I was a little underwhelmed, I think, at first. I don't know. I'm always, I want a big splash, you know? I'm always, give me something that you didn't see coming. So, I don't know. Dude hit 200, had a 200 RBI season. So, if we can get anywhere close to that kind of production, that would be fucking amazing. So, for me, Josh Naylor, I think, is going to play the most important role. But Corbin Burns is for sure the when you wake up like Tallman said and the best available free agent has signed with the Diamondbacks in the desert. It is a cool day. It is a cool day. It's not one that I expected to see or even thought about happening. I figured we've got a number one. We'll probably go and try to get help in the back half of our rotation, but. Man, making your number one a number one, number two AB situation is a hell of a move.
Oh, for sure. And it's my understanding, guys, correct me if I'm wrong here, but Corbin Burns wasn't even really on their radar. Like, they weren't even really thinking about going after him. And then he hit him up, or their agent hit him up and was like, hey, Corbin Burns would really like to play here. Is there any way we can make a deal happen? And D-back's like, well, I'm so glad you asked. And he actually took a little bit less money than he could have gotten elsewhere, granted. 100 and or what is it? Yeah, 210 million ain't bad over 6 years. I think he'll be just fine. He'll be able to have all the Excel spreadsheets that he wants. But
he lives out here too, Chris. He's got a house in Scottsdale, so I'm assuming that
I think his factored family into everything. Yeah, that's what I've heard. Is this part of? I don't know which how much of his family, but apparently some of his family's here too. So hey, it's a win-win if it makes him happy to be here, closer to his house and his family. And we get a great pitcher out of it, then perfect. I think, obviously, I don't know. It's hard for me to say Burns is bigger. I think it is a bigger signing than Naylor just because of the pedigree and the star power. But the reason I really like the Josh Naylor trade additionally is because he's a guy who's going to play damn near every day for us. You're going to see a lot more Josh Naylor than you're going to see Corbin Burns. I mean, we're talking 30 to 32 games, whatever, versus Naylor could play 150 plus, and I would expect him to. But that's the Diamondbacks. We'll see how the new additions go. But around the league, we got several new faces in new places. It was a pretty busy, what do they call it, a hot stove league when the free agents hit the market and guys are getting signed left and right. And one of the teams that kind of took the brunt of this was the New York Yankees. Made some additions, had some subtractions. You see here on the graphic, Michael Benjamin pulled up. Juan Soto I think last year, Ian, correct me if I'm wrong here, I'm going to pass this to you, but he had signed a one-year deal with the Yankees. They tried to bring him back. He stayed in New York, but went to the other team down there in Queens. Are you reeling from Juan Soto leaving, and what were your thoughts on that?
Who is Juan Soto? No, I'm just kidding. It hurt. You know, I think really... You know, I'm spoiled as a Yankees fan. We've always had good players, good teams, yada, yada. That one, I think, is the only one that hurt close to the Robinson Cano one. I got over this one faster because the Yankees, outside of missing out on Soto, did have a nice offseason where they filled in spots where I've been waiting for them to fill for a while. So they look like a more well-rounded team, even though at the top they may not be as strong. It's really just Judge and a bunch of guys instead of Judge and Soto and nobody. So there's that. But I don't know, man. He's going to do his thing in Queens. And I'd like to say that I feel like they're going to get out of their division, but they still have the Phillies and shit. So it's like it's this thing that I think is like overblown kind of now. That's where I'm hanging. I just want the season to start and stop talking about this dude, really.
Oh my god, guys, I'm hitting the wrong buttons on my keyboard. It kept pulling up like the task manager, or no, like the dot. Anyway, not important. But yeah, I totally feel that, and it's funny that he stays in the same city but switches leagues. He goes from the American League with the Yankees to the National League in the Mets there. So it's not like you're going to have to play him a bunch during the season. He's not really going to be having a homecoming or anything. I know they do the Subway Series and every team plays every team. So you guys are going to see him, you know, at least at some capacity. Do you know, off the top of your head, do they play in at Yankee Stadium or do they play at, what is it, Citi Field for the Mets? Which, where is their, who is the home team for this year's Subway Series?
Oh, I actually don't know.
Aha, trick question, pop quiz. You mean you haven't memorized the Yankees schedule, Ian? Fake fan.
Yeah, totally. It's the Bronx. They're playing in the Yankees Bronx. Are the home team. Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Okay, now I guess quick follow-up. Do you think that Juan Soto will be booed by the Yankees fans?
100%. Like, no doubt in my mind, he will be booed. Loudly. Yeah.
If I'm a Yankees fan, I'd probably boo him too. Cause I mean, you got him on a 1 year deal. Hope you could lock him up long-term, but the deal he got, what is it? 15 years, $765 million. Bonkers, dude. Absolutely bananas. Like those 10 plus year contracts always just make me crazy. Like the only ones I can really remember off the top of my head, I think Albert Pujols got a 10 year deal. It wasn't even that crazy now that I think about it. It was like 10 years, 100 million, maybe more than that. And then I'm pretty sure Trout also got like a 10-year deal. But I don't want to get caught up talking about Juan Soto. Ian, while we're on you and the Yankees, the big addition that the Yankees did make was getting Atlanta Braves pitcher Max Fried to slate into their rotation. And now with – help me out here. Who's the starting pitcher that just went out for you guys?
Garrett Cole.
Yeah, now with Garrett Cole out, does that mean that Max Fried is going to be your ace number one pitcher now?
Yep, Max Fried will be the ace. Obviously, like, you know, on paper, when everyone's healthy, it's still Cole. But, you know, Fried's got to slide into that spot now. Plus, we traded Nestor to Milwaukee. Luis Gil got hurt. Clark Schmidt got hurt. Out of nowhere, our fucking starting pitching just got banged the fuck up. So, it's Max Fried and a bunch of other guys that were not on the team last year. Right now, I think we have like fucking 40-year-old Carlos Carrasco. So, you know, we're just trying to keep the fucking tires on the car for the first, you know, month or two of the season.
And, you know, that's really like all you can ask for is like just to keep the ship afloat as we roll through the early part of the season here. But Tallman, the rich get richer, and the Dodgers, they happen to be able to sign. I don't know if he can hear me now that his headset flew off of his skull.
Yeah, dude, I knew you were going to ask me about the fucking Dodgers.
I got it. I know they're your second favorite team in the league.
So painful.
So looking at this list here, they got Blake Snell from the Giants.
That's killer.
Tanner Scott from the Padres, and they re-signed Teoscar Hernandez. They also signed that Japanese dude,
Sasaki,
whatever, Roki or whatever.
Roki?
Yeah.
So the rich get richer. And not only that, they're also gutting the talent within the division as well. I mean, say your piece, brother.
Dude, yeah. So, I mean, it was a little disgusting to watch, right? So first they started off, they signed Blake Snell, which Blake Snell is – obviously, we're very familiar with Blake Snell. He's pitched a long time in the same division as the D-backs. Great pitcher, right? Then they go, the one Japanese prospect that everybody was gunning for, the Japanese ace, they get Sasaki. Of course they do, right? Every Japanese player is going to go play for the Dodgers. And then they get arguably the best relief pitcher in Tanner Scott, which, you know, why not, right? So it sucks, man. It's just watching them just spend. And then, oh yeah, by the way, Shohei Ohtani is expected to pitch again this year. So end of May, they're going to be able to sprinkle Ohtani into that rotation. So it's just a dirty, dirty team that they have over there. And unfortunately, it's a team that we're going to have to be playing against a lot. But a part of me loves the competition, though, right? You know, us being the underdog is always a beautiful thing to root for. And we definitely, over the past couple seasons, we've had the Dodgers number. So let's hope that, you know, they didn't buy their way to just utter dominance, which if you go look at any sports book, it's almost a guarantee that the team that's at the top most favored to win the World Series next season is going to be the Dodgers.
Yeah, and I don't think the odds are even that incredible. It's like plus 400 or something like that, maybe even less, which, I mean, it's just crazy. And it's like, it makes sense. Like on paper, they're stacked. They are just absolutely stacked. But Mike, I want to loop you back in here and pose this question, not that question, this question that we have on the graphic here. Some of the biggest stars in baseball have switched addresses this offseason, but who from that group that we've been looking at might help their club the most this next season?
Ooh, I don't want to bury the lead here. Honestly, guys, I really think it is going to be Juan Soto, maybe catapulting them to a World Series run. But that's, you know, let's not get too crazy. I think there's three guys that I'm looking at that are kind of situated around a team that a lot of us don't like. It's the Houston Astros, and it's guys moving, and obviously one key piece that we know well here in the Valley going to the Houston Astros. But I really like Kyle Tucker going to Chicago. The Cubs, I think it's still the Brewers' division to lose at this point. But, you know, adding the 28-year-old right fielder, we'll see how that kind of propels their club. Same with Alex Bregman, man, the third baseman for the Boston Red Sox. Yankee, you're gonna, Ian, you're going to have some competition over there with the Yankees. I think the Red Sox are going to be a sleeper team that might just take that division this year. I know Bregman's a little bit older. He spent 9 years with the Astros. But I think that veteran presence is really going to pair well with some of their really, really young guys. But obviously, we'd be remiss if we didn't touch on Christian Walker, our hometown hero, some would say, going to Houston. I don't know the true outlook for the Houston Astros this year, but Christian Walker, the power bat, I'm still pulling for the guy. I hope that he can make an impact for that team. But going back to your question, Chris, it's Juan Soto, man. I think leaps and bounds above anybody else for right now.
Yeah, I think it's got to be. And I also hope Christian Walker does good because he's my starting first baseman on my fantasy team that we just drafted this last Sunday evening. So I'll have to see. But I want to ask Nico the same question that I just asked you, Mike. I mean, out of that list of guys and who you've heard of that have been on the move, not necessarily just signings through free agency, but could be trades as well. I guess aside from Juan Soto, who else could make a big impact for their team?
I mean, so I was never going to pick Juan Soto because the Mets will always met at the end of the day. The Mets will always figure out a way to be the fucking Mets. So like Juan Soto is going to slip in the shower and like rupture a fucking hamstring. And like the Mets are going to, you know, it's going to be some sort of astronomical series of events that make the Mets be the Mets. For me, and call me biased, call me whatever, but it's actually Nestor Cortez to Milwaukee for me. I think Nestor is going to be a massive part of this Brewers rotation through five scoreless in his last outing before he goes to New York. And let me tell you, that's the Brewers' first opponent of the season is in New York against the Yankees. Who's getting the ball on day two? Fucking Nestor Cortez. So for me, like Nestor, I think is going to be integral in that Milwaukee rotation. Brandon Woodruff still recovering from injury, still kind of day to day. Should see him out there at some point this year. Freddie Peralta is their ace, but like Nestor has an ability to come in and like really make an impact on this Brewers team and a team that's won the NL Central 2 years straight. And I know that every Cubs fan will like tell you that they are the better of that rivalry. The Cubs haven't won two straight NL Central championships. So, I don't know. For me, it is most definitely, without a doubt, Nestor Cortez. Kind of a sleeper pick, very biased, but it's Nestor for me.
Oh, my God. I'm trying to do my hotkeys here, and it's just not working out, boys. But I like that. I honestly, I don't hate Nestor Cortez. I hate his windup, and it's a balk every time. But that's neither here nor there. I mean, Nico, I gotta ask you also, the Brewers losing Willie Adames, is that a big hit for them, having him go from Milwaukee now to the NL West with the Giants?
I think it's a bigger hit for the Diamondbacks than it is for the Brewers, honestly. I think that Adames is gonna maybe scare us more than he would have, you know, more than he would be valued in Milwaukee. Milwaukee has a great left side of the infield. Their third baseman situation is kind of up in flux. But for everything I've seen, it's either going to be like Vinny Capra, Durbin, who they got in the trade from the Yankees as well, who is just a 5'6" spring-loaded jackhammer when he swings the bat.
Oh, shit, I forgot about incredible. That dude.
Yeah, dude's a stud. Monster. Yeah, so like he may end up playing the third base position, but the shortstop position that Adames occupied, man, Bryce Terang, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know, let me put you on. The man won a platinum glove last year for his defense. I might be biased in this whole thing, but Terang, watching him move on the infield is incredible. Him between him and Joey Ortiz as to who is going to play third, short, second, whatever Pat decides to put out that day, I don't think Adames is going to be missed. I think that offensively you might see a slight dip, but when you got – oh, that's lovely. When you got guys like Rhys Hoskins backing up the power slot, I don't think you really worry about missing as much of a Willie Adames as you would.
That makes sense. That makes sense to me. And Nico, it does seem like you know an awful lot about the Brewers, and we've kind of teased it a little bit. You're talking about collecting souvenirs. You seem to know a lot about their players. You got a unique opportunity this winter to join the organization, if you will. I don't know if you have any restrictions, but are you able to share with us kind of what role you're playing and what your experience has been like with the Milwaukee Brewers?
Yeah, we can most definitely talk about it. So this coming January, basically, I got offered a job as a groundskeeper in the Milwaukee Brewers organization at the spring training facility in Phoenix. It's been unbelievable, to be honest with you. The the team, the staff, the players are incredible. To be that close to these guys, like, I know we've joked about our softball team, but like watching these guys operate and then watching like the way our softball team operates, it's a very big difference between pros and your casual rec league players for sure. It's been super cool, man. I've learned a lot of stuff on how to maintain and keep a field. I've always been, a love of baseball, but being inside is very interesting. Jackson Churio made fun of me the other day because a line drive came into the dugout and I used a drag to shield myself and he called me Captain America. And, it's very interesting scenarios. So, I have really enjoyed my spring with the Brewers. They have taken great care of me. I've gotten 3 pairs of shoes, 4 hats, 6 hoodies, t-shirts, anything and everything that I could possibly want. They took care of, they fed us. It is an unbelievable experience. And it is definitely cool to really see. That's Caleb Durbin right there. Just fucking yomping one out of the park. It's been a super cool experience and one that I never thought that I would ever get to be that close on a day-to-day basis in a professional organization. It is weird being that it's the Brewers and I am a Diamondbacks fan. So I come into work and I put a different team's like logo on. I have to cover up my Randy Johnson tattoo. There are very interesting things that like I never even quite thought about.
But you have to, like they told you have to do that?
It's a recommended if certain people are around. If I'm like out on the field like dragging, I'll put an arm sleeve on. Just to kind of, it's not as bad. We have one dude that has a giant Chicago Cubs tattoo on the side of his calf and he has to have it covered all the time because that's like having a Dodgers tattoo on your throat and working for the Diamondbacks just would not work. So yeah, it's been a very, very cool experience. Very, very blessed. Very weird to go in and, like I said, wear another team's jersey, but, yeah, super, super cool, man. And, Tori, You fucked me, dude. So next time, leave the lineup card, okay? If Terry Francona can figure out how to do it, Torrey Lovello can. That's all I got to say there.
Come on, Torrey. Like, you aren't new. You aren't fucking new to this. Stooge. guys, I mean, I guess.
Go ahead.
I was just going to see if any of the other guys had any questions for you about what your time's been like with the team.
Fire away.
I got one. Well, I had the pleasure to go out to a couple of games with Nico this spring. Very appreciative of you, my guy. He let me on the field. I got the sneak peek. I got the background access. It was awesome. But you did kind of touch on some of the, you know, interactions that you had with players, the Captain America one. Do you have another kind of cool story from a specific player that really just sticks out in your mind, or it's like, yeah, this is the big leagues, man. This is where it all happens right now.
Yeah, so the first game that I worked, I was given the job of running out to second, pulling second out. That way the drags can come through and smooth out the sand. So I ran out to second, and Vinny Capra, who played very minimally at the major league level last year for Milwaukee, has been kind of in and out of farm leagues and professional rosters for his entire career. He had a walk-off home run the day before and had like started his at bat that day with a home run. And I remember standing there because Vinny was stuck on second. They left him stranded on second. So he's waiting to get his bat or his glove and his hat. And I'm standing there holding the base. And I kind of was like, yeah, this is slightly awkward. Like, I feel like I have to say something to him in this scenario since we're both just standing here. And I looked at him and I was like, hey man, that was a hell of a start. And he was like, thanks man. Best start of my career. Turns out Vinny Capra is leading spring training now in home runs. I believe he has 6 total home runs. It's Vinny Capra and like Matt Chapman or some shit. Like just name a name you wouldn't expect to be involved. And like shout out Vinny. Vinny was awesome. He sat there and had the conversation with me, treated me just, you know, it was super awesome. So yeah, that was one of those moments where like you kind of look up and you're like, I am talking to somebody wearing an MLB uniform in the middle of an MLB field, in the middle of a game, you know, like the Bob Uecker tributes going off in the background. Like it was a very surreal moment for sure. Yeah, definitely cool.
Well, that's awesome, man. I'm sure this isn't the last time that we'll be talking about your experience with the Brewers, and we're not going to let this turn into the Brew City plug or anything like that. So don't get any ideas, but we'll let you speak on it occasionally.
It's most of my fantasy team, so I will have to speak on it somewhat, but yeah, no.
You got all the Brewers. Raymond got all the Dodgers. It's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. Surprising. Ian, how many Yankees did you end up with on your fantasy baseball team?
I think just one. I think I only got Austin Wells.
Interesting. I know you auto-drafted Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah, that shit sucks. Like half my team auto-drafted. I was like in and out the whole time, but I don't know. Jacob DeGrom went like 6th round or something like that. It was like disgustingly early. Is that guy even like gonna play baseball anymore? Like I haven't seen him in forever. It's fucking weird.
I guess I was really surprised that Yahoo had him ranked so high, and like I saw when it was said you was gonna auto draft, I was like, oh, they're gonna give him DeGrom, aren't they? That fucking sucks.
Yep.
But that's how it goes. But fellas, let's keep it pushing. We got a few more topics to get to. Don't want to go too long tonight and be respectful of everyone's time. Just real quick, gotta talk about the landscape here at home and the NL West. Of course, we know the Dodgers have a massive payroll. The Padres were looking up last year. They've got some pieces. Don't know how worried we are, honestly, about the Giants or the Rockies, especially the Rockies. But I want to pass this over to you first, Tallman. What is kind of your thinking of how the NL West is going to look this year? Is it kind of a two-team race? Is it just a one team race and everyone behind the Dodgers looking for a wild card spot, or what is your projection for the NL West?
Oh, well, it'd be real easy to say it's just a one team race to win the division. And then the rest are just going to be gunning it for wild card spots. Cause let's be realistic. That's probably what's going to happen. No need to go in. We already talked about what the Dodgers did to improve an already really good team that just won the World Series. Right. I want to be optimistic and say it is a three-team race. I mean, I wouldn't count out the Padres or the Diamondbacks, right? Obviously, We're very high on our hometown team, the Diamondbacks. Not only did the D-backs get, I think, a lot better than we were last season when we won 89 games but still didn't make the playoffs, but I think we improved a lot. This is a better team than we had last year, arguably even better than when we went on the World Series run. So we're going to come in. We're going to turn some heads. D-backs are high in those power rankings that you see on all the national outlets. Obviously, everyone's going to be chasing the Dodgers, right? But I wouldn't be surprised if it's a little closer than it has been in the last couple of years. Padres, I mean, it just depends on their pitching, man. We all know how good that Padres lineup is. And, I mean, they have some outstanding players, Machado, who's the drug addict guy, Tatis Jr. So, I mean, they have a great offense. They're going to be a high-powered offense again. The Giants, man, I mean, the Giants were kind of – on our ass a little bit last year. I mean, they were 80 and 82 last year. I wouldn't necessarily count them out of maybe shocking us a little bit, but come on. I mean, it's a three team race right now where it's the Dodgers and it's going to be the Padres and the Diamondbacks just chasing the Dodgers, trying to gun it out for one of those wild card spots.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Padres kind of took a step back, especially with losing, Blake Snell, that they have, and having him go to the Dodgers. I mean, they do have a young rising star in Jackson Merrill. They have the single machine, Luis Suarez. And obviously, Fernando Tatis, you're going to have a full season of him now. And he can mash a homer and drive in the runs for you. But overall, like, I'm really not overly concerned. But, Mike, I gotta loop you back in here. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you guys have been touching on the offense of the San Diego Padres. That's the team that I'm really keeping my eyes on this year. If you talk about Fernando Tatis, Manny Machado, and the center fielder Jackson Merrill, who honestly a lot of people said should have been the rookie of the year last year, you're looking at possibly the most explosive 3, 4, 5 spots in the majors, man. And if they can put it together on a consistent basis, I can see them challenging the Diamondbacks for that second spot. Unfortunately, like you guys already said, and I'm sure we'll talk about it some more, the Dodgers are the Dodgers. The rich get richer. But my eyes are all over this Padres team this year. I don't know. I might be a little bit more concerned than you guys are when it comes to the Padres being a little bit sneakier. But I will say that expectations are still very high for the Diamondbacks.
Oh, without a doubt. And I misspoke. I didn't misspoke. I misspoke. Blake Snell left the Giants for the Dodgers. He didn't leave the Padres for the Dodgers. But I guess that makes the same case just for the wrong team, is that the Giants got a little worse. And I think they're still a young team that is trying to rebuild. I mean, they had their dynasty years, been a little down. They got old man Matt Chapman there at third base. The story still stands. I'm not so concerned about the Giants. But Mike, you might be right. Maybe I should be a little bit more worried about the Padres. I mean, Ian, looping you back in here, I always appreciate your kind of somewhat outside perspective, although I know you've been paying attention to the Diamondbacks and the West Coast a little more closely. But what is your view of the NL West, and how are other teams seeing this division?
I mean, when it comes to winning the division, like, it's the Dodgers. Like, that's what life is in this division for the next 10 years at least. I don't know how long it's going to be. They'll figure some other shit out in 10 years. But I think I agree with Mike. Like, I think, you know, first wild card spot, it's going to be the Diamondbacks. But I wouldn't be surprised at all to see the Padres sneak up, because that's a team that doesn't really perform as good as we know that they can perform. You know, it's the last few seasons of them, you know, like, you know, they have these guys like Tatis, Bogarts, I'm drawing a blank. Fuck it. Let's just go with those two. Machado was the third guy. That's what I was thinking of. They something always goes like wonky with their seasons. They are a much better team on paper than how they actually play. And I wouldn't be surprised to see either this season or next season or whenever it may be, they finally do piece it together and have a really good chance at threatening to compete in a playoff spot. So I could see them sneaking up, but I do think you're looking at, you know, Dodgers, Diamondbacks, probably Padres and then everybody else, but Padres will be a little more competitive than we're used to seeing.
Yeah, and I mean, there is precedent for three teams in a division all making the playoffs in baseball. And we've even seen it here in the NL West where you had the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks, and the Rockies not even that long ago. I think within the last 10 years that's happened. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility where you see the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks, and the Padres all making the playoffs out of the NL West. But overall, my opinion is that it is a strong division still. And even like last year near the end of the season when we really needed every single win to get into the playoffs, we being the Diamondbacks, we had a series against the Rockies. And Tallman, correct me if I'm wrong here, but we dropped two games of a four-game series against the Rockies there.
That sounds correct.
It was two. Michael Benjamin saying
I think it was the first two of the series.
It was two, yep. We lost 3-2 and then 8-2. And guess who was pitching in the last game? Jordan Montgomery.
Well, go figure. Who could have guessed? But I think that just like that speaks to this overall conversation we've been having of like every game matters and like it is a strong division. I mean, the Rockies are dog water. They're not any good. But it's like we were all sitting here on this podcast saying, not necessarily the preview, but on the Valley Sports Plug Network on our podcast saying they should win all four of these games and then I'll feel really good about their chances to make the playoffs. And they drop two. And you can't have that type of situation. But do want to keep things pushing a little bit and just talk specifically about the Arizona Diamondbacks and what our expectations are for them. I think we're probably all going to be on the same page. I think the expectations for me this year are very similar to last year, but I want to bounce it off of you guys first. So I'll pass it over to our resident Brewers fan down there, Nico. And I know he might be wearing the Milwaukee gear, but he is a Diamondbacks fan at heart. It's even tatted on him. So Nico, what are your expectations for your Snakes?
Man, we got to win 90 games. With the roster that we have, there's no reason as to why we can't win 90 games. I need 90 games and I need the playoffs. And I need a run in the playoffs. And I know that we're talking expectations now, but this team made it to the World Series 2 fucking years ago. And this team should have been in the playoffs last year, but we choked on our own spit coming down the stretch. And yeah, I'm calling the Rockies our own spit, but it's gotta be 90 plus. I need all-star appearances from Zach Gallen and Corbin Burns. And I need to get out of the, NLDS. I need us in a championship series. That's my expectation, plain and simple. Nothing less will make me happy.
I gotta stop hitting the wrong keys here, but that's crazy. That's surprising to me that 90 wins is the benchmark. Like, I sure hope so. I think that is well within their capabilities. But Tallman, would you agree 90 wins is a fair expectation for this team?
Yeah, I would say that's probably it. I mean, what did we make the playoffs when we went to the World Series? How many wins did we have? It was a lot less. It was like 82, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and like then, 82 or 83.
Yeah, like 82, 83. And then last season we had 89. We didn't even make the playoffs. So to be safe, just in where we're at division-wise, I think 90 is going to be that benchmark. So it's good. But, I mean, for this season coming up, I already mentioned, I think that this team's better than, obviously on paper, because we haven't seen them come out and play meaningful baseball yet. But I think they're better than the team that went to the World Series. So a huge key to that is going to be Corbin Burns. Let's hope that in a month or 2 months, we look back on this opening day story and this whole routine thing and just laugh at it when Corbin Burns is 6-2 and 8 different starts. That's going to be key. This rotation, this baseball team is all about starting pitching, right? Last season, it was all about the offense being the team that scored the most runs in baseball. But this season, it's really an emphasis on starting pitching. So keeping these guys healthy, Corbin Burns healthy, Zach Gallen healthy, Mike, someone's got to get Merrill Kelly hydrated, man, can't be cramping up. But those three guys are going to be just key to the success of this baseball team. And then sprinkle in some Eduardo, some Fott. I mean, you have Ryan Nelson sitting there in the wings. So starting pitching is going to be huge. Getting six innings out of these guys every single time they go out there is going to be just it's going to ultimately be what catapults his team over that 90-win mark. I think we're going to win more than 90 games. Having Ginkle starting on the IL is a little rough, right? We don't know who the closer is going to be. Torrey already came out and said he's going to do whatever matchups he feels best. But ultimately, I think there's going to be somebody that emerges from that A bullpen, right? Your high leverage guys. Is it going to be Puck or is it going to be Martinez? One of those guys are going to be merged. And I bet you in a month, someone's going to be our clear-cut closer. Is Torrey going to come out and announce it? No, I bet you it's going to be, oh, look, it's another save situation. The last six save situations, it's been Martinez or it's been Puck. We're going to see that. But talking about the offense, though, guys, we lost Jock Peterson. We lost Christian Walker. Jock Peterson, he was a huge impact on this team last season. He was a very big part of all those runs that we scored, being the team that scored the most runs. So we got to find a way where we can pick up where we're going to lose some of that offensive production. So I think it starts with Corbin Carroll. We all freaked out about his slow start last season. He needs to pick up where he ended the season last year because he was on fire. Another guy in that same boat, we were calling for his head. Gino Suarez, man, he needs to pick up where he left off last season. Those two guys come out of the gates hot, like they never skipped a beat. I mean, this offense could potentially score the most runs again and have a top five pitching rotation in the league. So if I had to pick, I bet you we win 96 games this season and we're going to be a top wild card team.
Well, Tom, and I think when it comes down to the expectations of any team that is going in a successful direction, which the Arizona Diamondbacks have been doing the past couple of years, you just can look at the numbers right off the bat, right? The year that we went to the World Series, 84 wins. Last year, 89 and 73. I think the minimum expectation is if you're just thinking one more win than last year, because you also have to remember this team struggled to start, right? Through the first 30 games, we were 13 and 17. Through the first half of the season, we were one game above 500. And then we go on our big run. We're almost 20 games over 500. And then we lose six of our last eight. You're hopeful that this starting pitching staff is going to get you out of the gates hot right now. And I do want to touch on the situation with Kevin Ginkle starting on the 15-day IL for this season. I think Tallman, it might kind of push the closer conversation into a decision a little bit quicker than we were if we had Ginkle in it. You know, now maybe it's okay. No, we're going 7, 8, 9, Thompson 7, AJ Puck 8, and Justin Martinez is in your ninth spot. Start getting guys in rhythm. And then when Kevin Ginkle comes back, you can start having those discussions again. But at that point, maybe Justin Martinez has already shored things up. But obviously, we don't know. Torrey has said it's by committee. I don't love it. But the expectation for this Diamondbacks team for me, guys, you can't just take one more game. I need to see 95, 96 wins. They need to come out of the gate with a pedal to the metal more often than not through the first 50, 60 games of this season and start setting the second half of the season up for a fight with the Los Angeles Dodgers, right? There were points last year where we were, but we were always on the tail end from the position that we put ourselves in from the start of last season. And I do think these guys are ready to do that exact thing this year. Is it a division title? I don't know if that's truly a conversation we have. But man, 95, 96 wins plus has to happen for this Diamondbacks team this year.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think Mike has successfully radicalized me. And I agree. I think, why stop there, Mike? I think we should expect or hope for 100 wins from this team. I mean, we talk about 84 wins in 2023, 89 wins in 2024. I guess if we're going in those increments, it would be 94 wins. But I honestly think this team is better than any team we've had in the last 2 years. So 95 to 100 wins is completely doable. And I honestly do. I want to see them nipping at the heels of the Dodgers, because the Dodgers can be as good as they want on paper, but it's how does it translate to the field? How connected is this team? Because, Tallman, if there's one thing I know, it's that is a connected team is a fucking dangerous team. Is that right?
That's right, man. We're fucking dangerous.
I gotta see that dangerous team again. And so I'll say my expectations high level. I'm gonna say 95 wins and make the playoffs. I don't care if you do it through the wild card. I'd prefer you win the division, but I do have to be a little bit of a realist. And I think it's almost a foregone conclusion. If you held a gun to my head, I would say that the Dodgers are gonna win the division. And that's fine. That's fine, because we can still make the playoffs, and we have experience making it in through that wild card spot and getting to the World Series. So who's to say they can't do it again? So that's pretty much where I'll leave it. But Ian, since we all chimed in and now you're a de facto second tier Diamondbacks fan, what would your expectations be for this Snakes team?
I think if – am I on mute? No. Okay, I'm not. Cool.
We're all learning here. I can't get my hotkeys. You got the mute button issue. We're figuring it out.
Spring training for everybody. Yeah, if all goes well, I think I can see them winning 90 to 95 games, but that's expecting a turnaround season from Corbin Carroll, which he's definitely capable of. It's not expecting any, you know, crazy injury to happen that'll derail you, like, you know, knock on wood, Burns gets hurt or, you know, anything like that. Those bumps in the road do happen, but, you know, if the stars align this season, I think a 95 win season is going to be what you're looking at. I think the Dodgers will be on pace for about 100-105. So that's where I'm sitting right now, is like basically what you said. You're going to be nipping on the heels of the Dodgers. I just think the number is going to be just a little bit lower is all.
And that's okay. I can live with that. At the end of the day, if we win 90 plus, if we make the playoffs, I'm going to call that a total success. But now, to wrap this all up, our 2025 MLB season preview, we do it for every sport, every season we preview, our predictions for the World Series, who's going to be in it, who's going to win it. These are the questions we got to ask. I know a lot of people want to see a rematch, Dodgers and Yankees. Honestly, thinking it's a possibility. Nico, we'll pass it over to you first. We'll kind of wrap, little bounce around style here, but you'll kick us off here. What is your prediction for World Series matchup and winner?
Fuck, I was kind of hoping that I might be a little later in this.
Surprise,
this
motherfucker.
This is tough, man. this shit is tough, dude. I think Boston is kind of being slept on right now. I wouldn't be surprised to see them shake some shit up in the playoffs. Were they World Series like quality yet? Probably. I don't know, man. Anything can happen. It's 160 some odd game season. Anything can goddamn happen. I'm gonna go Boston and Dodgers. That's gonna be my ballsy prediction. Boston, LA, with LA winning in Boston.
In Boston. He even put the caveat in Boston. Ian, we'll go back to you. I know, of course, you want to see the Yankees back in the World Series, but do you think that will happen? What's your prediction?
Dude, it's so hard to say. I'm trying to take my bias out of it, and I'm thinking about last season and the road that they had to the World Series, not the World Series itself, but the earlier playoff rounds before it. The teams last season that they played did not put up much of a fight, and the Yankees were not exactly playing great baseball either. So it was like a not great Yankees team playing even worse American League teams. It's just the talent is stacked in the NL right now. I do think it's going to be the Dodgers. American League, it could be the Yankees, but like I said about the Diamondbacks, that's hoping on a lot of things to go well. We would need Anthony Volpe to figure it out for an entire season. We would need Austin Wells to step up. We need Max Fried to be an ace and not get hurt, and he's probably going to get hurt. Like, there's so many things that can go wrong there. But it's also like I don't really feel like any of the other American League teams are really World Series caliber. I guess the closest one I can think of might be Cleveland. That's about it, though. And even they just lost Josh Naylor, which, you know, is, he wasn't exactly their franchise guy, but he definitely was a guy. So I think the AL is a toss-up. I'll go with the safe bet, which I guess is the Yankees because they were just there, but that's a league that's all over the place right now.
Yeah, no, I think that you make a lot of really good points there. And Mr. Benjamin Tallman, I'm gonna jump in here and then we'll keep it in order. We'll go down the list. So we'll go Mike, and then Tallman, you'll finish this out, bring it home. But Ian, I think if you had asked me a month or two ago, I would have said for sure Yankees out of the AL. But now with Garrett Cole going out for the season, losing Juan Soto, I think they're going to have more of an uphill battle than I think they were, if you asked, just at the very end of the last World Series run.
Of course.
But you're 100% right. The talent is totally stacked in the National League right now, to where I'm looking at FanDuel here and they have the Detroit Tigers as the sixth favorite team to win the American League. I mean, that's kind of crazy to me. I mean, of course, you got the Orioles are a really good team in that conversation, but it seems like they're cursed and can't really do shit in the playoffs. Nico, you bring up a really good point with the Red Sox. They've added a lot of talent and built on an already pretty solid squad. So I think, if anything, that's probably the Yankees' biggest competition. So I'd say it's going to be one of those teams coming out of the AL. If I had to choose, I'd probably take the cop out and say that the Yankees are going to make it back to the World Series. And here's what I'm going to say, guys. Here's what I'm going to say. The realist in me, if I'm being objective, it'll be Dodgers-Yankees rematch. Now, what my heart says is that the Diamondbacks are going to make it back to the World Series, but this time they're going to fucking win it. Now, we'll see what actually ends up happening, but I guess my head prediction, Dodgers-Yankees with the Dodgers winning it. My heart prediction, D-backs-Yankees with the D-backs winning it. 0-1 redemption. No, I guess that's not redemption. 0-1 repeat. Let's do that. But I'm just jabbering now. Mike, what are your predictions?
Chris, I absolutely love it. I was kind of in the same camp with that. When I'm looking at my predictions for this year, they're almost more so hopes than realistic situations. The Los Angeles Dodgers will probably make it back and win back-to-back. The additions that they made this year just makes it so hard for a lot of other teams to compete. But my hopes, when I talk about the AL, I do have Boston blood. But man, it's been a long time since the Baltimore Orioles have really been anything. I'm rooting for them this year, man. I like Adley Rutschman. I love Gunnar Henderson. I think he's going to be in the AL MVP conversation this entire season. So I'm pulling for them to come out of the AL. And then in the NL, yes, there's always the hopes of the Diamondbacks. But remember, when we set expectations in the Valley, we just got to be careful. So for this one, I'm not going heart. I'm going what could be a possibility is the Atlanta Braves come out of the NL. They find a way to get over the Dodgers. Spencer Strider is healthy the second half of the season as a legitimate ace. And you're talking about a weird World Series in the Atlanta Braves versus the Baltimore Orioles. And I think the Braves would win that one again. So that's my hopes. But I already told you what is probably reality, unfortunately.
I like that, Mike. Very, very out of the box, a little unorthodox, but honestly, not entirely out of the realm of possibility, because 2 years ago, the beginning of the 2023 season, I don't think anyone predicted a D-backs Rangers World Series. That's baseball for you, man. But Tallman, why don't you bring us home? Share with us your 2025 World Series predictions.
Absolutely. Mike, you stole mine. I was going to pick the Orioles for the AL. Basically, just everything Mike said. I mean, the young guns over there. I mean, Henderson he's one of those dudes where absolutely agree with Mike. He's going to be an AL MVP candidate all season long. But just like you did also say it, Chris, as long as they don't shit the bed in the postseason, but they've consistently been one of the better teams in that league over the past couple seasons. And who knows, maybe it's this year. But I'm going to go my AL team's going to be the Orioles. NL, screw it, guys. I'm not even going to call it a homer pick because it's very likely that it could happen. And I ain't scared of the Dodgers. In a 5-game, 7-game series, we can beat that team. We can beat any team. That's the mentality I'm going to have going into it. I'm not going to worry about any Arizona curse shit. This is the best shot this team has had to win a title. I think they're going to do it. I'm going to have the D-backs going to the World Series. We're going to stay healthy all year. We're going to shock the world, and we're going to beat the Dodgers. We're going to beat the Phillies. We're going to beat everybody. We're going to win the World Series against the Orioles, and it's going to be a glorious experience.
And we're definitely going to beat the Brewers. Sorry, Nico.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck the
Brewers. Yeah. Full of our ball. Speak it into existence. If you believe, it'll happen. Come on.
Uh-oh. Where'd your microphone go, Chris?
Yeah, did you mute yourself?
He's just over there like...
he knocked himself out. All right. Well, while Chris gets everything situated one more time, I do want to say thank you to everybody who's joined us once again. My running mates, Chris Patrick, VSP Tallman. We're going to do one more round the horn and give everybody the microphone one last time to speak your piece, your last thoughts on opening day coming up. Just let the people know, man, what's going on. So we'll start with Ian, man.
Yeah, man. I don't like the way you guys ganged up on Nico, so I'm with him. Go Brewers.
He's used to it. He's fine.
I have a soft spot for Milwaukee anyway. Yeah, that's it for me. I don't know. Just let's enjoy watching some baseball. I'm excited.
Nico, you're up, man. Sorry, but down with the Brewers.
Brother, look, at the end of the day, I come from one of an original Diamondback season ticket holders from 1998. I'm a descendant of his loins. Therefore, I am always a Diamondbacks fan, man. It don't matter who pays the bills here at the home. I'll show the Brewers the respect that they deserve by employing me. But, man, let's not get it twisted. I am a Diamondbacks fan through and through. I had a lot of consternation the other night thinking about the Diamondbacks playing the Brewers and whether I was going to wear a Corbin Carroll jersey or whether I was going to support the people that pay my bills. Now, I chose wisely and supported the people that pay my bills. But, man, there was some real thought there. So I am Arizona through and through. I am excited for this season. I personally am excited to have another almost vested lifeline in Milwaukee right now of, like, you know, if shit starts to turn sour, and let's hope it doesn't in Arizona, but if it starts to turn, I can focus, I can avert my attention somewhere else and vice versa. But I am excited for baseball. I am pumped. I'm ready. I have been ready since the beginning of spring training, just to see meaningful baseball happen again. I have made a promise to myself that I'm going to get out to as many Diamondbacks games as I can this year, be in attendance, boots on the ground, all that kind of stuff. With that many home games, it would make no sense not to. So, yeah, I'm fucking pumped. I really hope that Tallman is correct. I hope that we are sitting here late October talking about the Diamondbacks making a World Series run. So, September, October, you know, whenever the fuck it is, World Series always creeps into November somehow. But yeah, I am pumped. I am ready for the season. Thank you boys for having me. I always love coming on doing this stuff. And don't feel bad for me, Ian. This has been an eternity of Nico on the shit end of the stick. I fling it back. Don't worry. I fling it back.
How about now? Is this working? Oh, we're so back, baby. Yeah, so technical difficulties all around for me tonight. But yeah, guys, this has been a lot of fun. This is our 2025 season preview. I was going to pass it to Ian. Mike did it for me. Pass it to Nico. So I still want to go last, Tallman. So why don't you share with us your final closing thoughts here?
First thing I said tonight, it's about damn time. And I'm so sick about talking about the Dodgers this, LA that, Shohei that. Fuck them. Why not us? Right? Why not us? So looking forward to finally being able to watch some of these games and then actually being able to talk about games on the streams. Well, I mean, we've been talking about it for weeks, just the buildup. What are we going to do? What's this team going to be like? Look at what the Dodgers did. I'm ready to talk about actual results, actual games with all you guys. And this is my favorite time of the year in the sports calendar, because we got the March Madness, the baseball ramping up, the Suns, who knows, right? So this is a fun time to be a sports fan.
No, it really is. March Madness, March Sadness. If you didn't see it, go check out our stream from last week on Pass the Outlet. Mike and I sat down with Stephen Miller, broke down everything you need to know about the NCAA tournament and gave our predictions. I know a lot of people are doing second chance brackets, so you might even be able to get some knowledge in there to help you with that. But Mike, what are your last thoughts before we roll out of here?
Yeah, gentlemen, I mean, we've already said it. Baseball is back. We cannot wait. Nico and Ian, you're probably going to have to get in on the tradition that VSP, Tallman, and Chris are starting this year, where we're going to at least one baseball game a month. So that's bare minimum. Like we already said, Diamondbacks, get me to 95 wins. I'll make sure that I'm there at least one time a month. But yeah, I mean, appreciate everybody who's listening back, podcast, streaming services, all that good stuff. We got a lot of love on Twitter today for our Phoenix Suns ticket giveaway that's going out. We're pulling the winner on Friday for the March 30th game against the Rockets. Fellas, we're over 300 subscribers now. We're up and up here at VSP, and it's all because of you guys. I'm so appreciative of you guys and always appreciate you making time. But Chris, that's all I got for tonight, man.
Well said, Mike. Definitely make sure you go check us out on X at AZ_VSP so you can get in for a chance to win those tickets. And I tweeted out, if we get 10,000 subscribers here on YouTube, I'm going to get Michael Benjamin and VSP Tallman's face tatted right here on my back. Now, I might have to put a time frame on that because I hope to be there one day. But if you guys make it happen, I'll say this calendar year. If we get there in this calendar year, those two guys are going to have their face tattooed on my back. If we get to 100,000, I'll get all four of these guys tattooed on my ass.
Guys, we're going to have to brainstorm some kind of crazy viral thing.
There's got to be a website where we can just buy a bunch of boxes.
That doesn't count.
We're organic.
If I heard that right, you'd have two Mikes, two Tallmans, one Ian, and one Nico on your entire body.
If we get to 200, sure, we'll do left cheek and right cheek.
All right, cool.
It'll be like a side profile for each of you guys.
Oh, good Lord.
We'll talk logistics. We'll get the chat involved, and we better have like 100,000 subscribers and 500 concurrent viewers on our live streams, engagement in the chat. That's what we're hoping for. So I know a lot of you are probably watching back on the replay or listening on the audio streaming services, because we do put every single stream, every single podcast out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere that you can find podcasts, you can find Valley Sports Plug. Of course, I've mentioned it before, I'll mention it again. If you're listening this far in the podcast, you probably already know, but it bears repeating. Please, 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 on YouTube, like and subscribe to our channel. Hit the notification bell so you can see when we're going live. Our live streams are every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. But I have a feeling we might be doing some special events popping up here and there. You'll just have to see and stay tuned. And you can hear about those special events by following us at Instagram, X, TikTok, anywhere at AZ_VSP. We're going to be there. But fellas, enough of the plugs, enough of the promotions, enough of talking about the tattoos I'm going to get on my ass. This was our 2025 MLB season preview. We're going to be back next Tuesday with a brand new Heat Check Live. It'll be me and the boys sitting down, breaking down the latest in Valley Sports news. But for Mr. Benjamin, VSP Tallman, Ian, and Nico, I'm Chris Patrick, and we'll see you next time. Peace.